You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. This is the Code of Conduct with the King podcast. I am your host, Jake Spence the King. And man, I am back with a fire episode with some dope content tonight. Man, last night we had a very, very special cross-network event. And I was joined by my man Bruce Nolan, Joe Miller. I was joined by Dave Tilt Money and my man Sterling from Cover One. And they all joined me as guest analysts as we talked to Jim Manos previously of the Buffalo Bills personnel department. And I had a blast, man. I had a blast. So tonight I want to follow it up with a very, very special guest, one of my favorite all-time Buffalo Bills players. Unfortunately, he ended up having a shorter career with the Buffalo Bills as our running back due to injuries. And then, you know, the business side of things takes, you know, it takes its course once injuries come into play. But man, this is a treat for me. CJ Spiller was, and you know, I'll tell my story, you know, I probably end up saying this four times tonight. CJ Spiller was the first running back that the Buffalo Bills took that kind of fit the mold of what the team wanted you to believe a running back or a player on the roster was supposed to be. Marshawn obviously was a great running back. Everybody loved Marshawn. I'm 35 years old. So in the 90s, when the Buffalo Bills had Thurman and we, you know, were going to those Super Bowls, you know, I was born in 86. So, you know, 91, 90, you know, those years I was not, I could care less. I'll put it this way. I could care less about football. I was excited because I remember going to school in like 92, 93. And, you know, as a kid, you just know you didn't want to go to school, you know. And I remember the teacher saying, if the Bills win the Super Bowl tomorrow or Monday, there won't be school. And every single year there was school Monday. So I just kind of, you know, I remember the Super Bowls vividly from that. Now, as an adult, I'll go back, I watch the film and I watch the games, and it's like, yo, these guys were great. I do remember Jim a little bit towards the end. I remember Thurman towards the end. I remember Bruce, you know, so I remember watching these guys as I began to get older, but I didn't really get to understand the game and fall in love with the game until I got a little bit older. And Doug Flutie, Eric Modes, that team, that roster was the roster for me that kind of got me to really, you know, just fall in love with football, fall in love with the way, you know, 11 guys going up against another 11 guys head up. That was what made me fall in love with it. So, you know, fast forward, we get Marshawn Lynch, and there's some off-field issues that, you know, I didn't necessarily care, but you know, they didn't put Marshawn out there to look like the best of the best. And by them, I don't mean the team. I mean certain members of the media and certain members of just in general. People in Buffalo did not necessarily care for Marshawn back then. So in comes CJ Spiller, this young, dynamic, like just speedy, very versatile player. He could catch, he could run, he could return punts, he could, you know, he just snatching ankles on the regular. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is who CJ was. And as a kid growing up, you hearing about Barry Sanders. Barry was probably my favorite for a good reason. You know, Barry was the truth. And no diss to Thurm. Everybody knows Thurm in Buffalo was that dude, but playing Madden. Like, as a kid growing up in the Madden era, you want the Barry. So Barry was my guy. CJ was my first guy as a Bills player who reminded me of that style of running on my team that I could be excited about at the age that I love football. So tonight is going to be fun for me. Sorry for that whole story to tell you that one little bit, but man, it was such a treat for me to be able to speak with him tonight. So before I bring CJ in though, I do want to bring in Sterling again from last night from Cover One. I want to bring Sterling in because with Coach Spiller coming in on the show, obviously I'm going to talk to him about Travis Etienne. We see Todd McShay talking about now how the Bills are going to trade up. I don't believe that, but how we're going to trade up to get him. Let's get my man Sterling in here. We're going to talk a little bit about Travis. I want a draft profile. I want to know what kind of player he is. I'm going to talk about a couple other things, and then we're going to get CJ in here. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. I promise you, it's probably my favorite so far. So hope you all enjoy it. I'm in the chat with you all. So, hey, let's chop this thing up all night. Talk to me. I'm talking to you. Let me know how you feel. Let me know how you like it. Let's do this, man. Go Bills. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, y'all already know. I told y'all I'm doing it big all week, so I'm bringing my man Sterling back from last night. He already kicked it with me and Jim Manos last night and the rest of the crew. First, Sterling, thank you for doing that, man. I had fun last night.
Oh, dude, that was dope. I didn't know Jim was so laid back and cool, man.
Open book.
Yeah, I've never talked to somebody like that, you know, that high or had such close connections and ties to the front office of the Bills, so... It was really interesting to see, man. I'm glad you put that together, though.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try to start doing more things like that where we can, because, like, so, for instance, with Jim being, like you mentioned, like, so high up in a front office and having the back behind-the-scenes type stories to the front office position. So, I figured draft guys who would have good questions about personnel decisions and guys who know what it's like to be you know, scouts or at least try to study on that type of thing. I figured you guys would ask the right questions. You know, so then we get other guys in here. I'm going to get another set of group of content creators to ask some questions. I just think stuff like that, man, when we can maximize each other's talents, I think it'd be great. So, you know, speaking of maximizing talents, me and you were talking a little bit before we started going live. Yo, Stephen A. Smith this morning went on First Take and was talking about the Buffalo Bills need to do what they need to do to go and trade for Julio. Now, it's not going to take a first round pick. As elite as Julio is, it wouldn't take a first round pick because of his age and because of the history of injuries. How would you feel about the Buffalo Bills trying? Do you think that's something that's a realistic in your mind? Now, again, we got to think about the cap space. I think it's like a $14 million hit, which, you know, obviously the Bills, Brandon Bean has shown he can kind of dance around numbers and do some things. What do you think about that idea that Stephen A. Smith threw out there this morning?
I mean, I think every Bills fan thinks about it. Yeah, I would say even before, I mean, when you hear a name like Julio Jones and Atlanta Falcons, you know, him being possibly traded or even just talking about being traded, it piques your interest. I mean, we're the Bills. Like, anybody gets cut, we're like, they should come play in Buffalo.
Yep.
The cool thing is like, I really do believe players can come to Buffalo to be the best versions of themselves. So not only is Julio one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game. I mean, the guy's coming off of, 700 yard season. I mean, his numbers are dropping, you know, but I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, maybe injuries. You know, Calvin Ridley was balling out last year, and the Falcons is kind of being trash. I mean, let's be honest. But him being in Buffalo, I mean, with Stephon Diggs taking the attention, and then you got Julio on the other side, man, that's tough, bro. That you ain't going to be able to handle that. I would love it.
Yeah.
I mean, what, third, fourth round pick gets it done? What?
I would say, I would think probably a second. You know, it's still Julio. It's still, like, last season, I know you mentioned the 700-yard season. You know, they shelved him early. He did have the hamstring injury, which kind of limited him with some games, but they shut him down too. Like, if they were in playoff contention, if they would have made the playoffs or been chasing for it, Julio would have played probably 13 or 14 games last year. And the GM came out last year and actually said, like, look, we're shutting him down because, you know, there's no point of further risking this type of injury. So I posted his stats earlier, man. He's really only missed games last season. And then I believe it was 2012. I got to go 13 season yep. where he missed some time. Other than that, every single season he's had over 1,000 yards. Every single season he's been Julio, and he's played through injuries. He's on the injury report every single week, just like Tom Brady. So like, you don't really think Tom is injured, but when he was in New England, every single time we played that dude, he was on the injury report.
Yeah, man. I mean, this dude, what, since 20, I think it's 2014, he's had at least 1,300 receiving yards, man. That's mm-hmm. crazy. That's crazy.
But when you look at it, it's like the only – so prior to Julio, the last guy to do anything similar to this was Megatron.
Yeah.
We don't see guys like Julio. So, like, I get into these debates often because, you know, obviously Bills fans, we become, like, victims of – recency bias, and we become victims of our own emotions. I love Stephon Diggs. I think Stephon Diggs is ascending to be the best or close to the best receiver in the game. I don't think he's there yet. And that's not a slight to Steph. Like, for me to say Steph is top five in the league, top four in the league, I don't think that's a diss at all. I just think when you look at guys like Julio Jones, when you look at guys like DeAndre Hopkins, even to this point, this season, I think Devontae Adams is a step above Diggs. Route running, hands. Now, Diggs' route running is elite. I'm not, that dude is elite, man. I think the Bills have the best route running group of receivers in the league. Mm-hmm. But, dude, you put Julio on this team, man. When Julio is healthy, he is by far. It's not even close. Like, I get in a debate with a guy that lives out here. He's a Falcons fan, and I just like giving him crap. But in reality, Julio is the best receiver in the league, hands down, if he's healthy. If he's not healthy, yeah. I got you. Healthy?
Yeah.
Dude.
I love his run after catch ability. I mean, he would be a big body receiver, can attack the ball in the air. I mean, he is exactly what we don't have, a physical dominant receiver.
Stephon I would love Diggs, every ability.
Right. Stephon Diggs is more of a route runner, nuanced, finesse receiver, right? Mm-hmm. In my opinion. But Julio is the exact opposite, man. He gives you that dominating physical presence. I mean, I would love it. I think it'd be great.
Dude, I mean, Julio. Look
at the great receivers who go off to play for different teams, right? Randy Moss, Jerry Rice. I mean, the greats, they do get moved. They get moved.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's far-fetched. I mean, if you look at Brandon Bean's track record, that's why he goes out and he looks for guys like Le'Veon Bell. I mean, we know what Le'Veon is now, but he's always kicking the tires on guys like that. So I guarantee you Brandon Bean's probably had a conversation with the GM.
Man, I'm so happy we didn't that whole – when we were in the running – for Le'Veon Bell. I'm so happy that didn't work out because I know now years ago, 3-4 years ago, if you would have asked me, yo, you want Le'Veon Bell in Buffalo? Yes. The year before, so like that year before he took the year off holding out, if you would have asked me then, you want Le'Veon Bell as a Buffalo Bill? Hell yes. Like I wouldn't say no under any circumstances. But now, even take this last season out of it. I don't believe in the Jets. When Adam Gase was there, I didn't believe in the Jets at all. So I believe he was in a bad situation, but still, there's nothing about Le'Veon Bell that I want at this point. Just period. So talk about running backs though. Let's talk about running backs.
Let's do it.
My guest on this same episode, man, tonight, he's going to be joining me in a couple minutes here, is Buffalo Bills former first round draft pick, CJ Spiller. You see, I'm repping him tonight. I got it on. Got my man CJ Spiller joining me. He is also the running back coach to Clemson running back, my man ETN. It's the guy that everybody is talking about. It's the guy everybody in Buffalo seems to be drooling over right now. It's the guy that Todd McShay has linked the Buffalo Bills to possibly, I don't believe this part, but trading up for. It looks like right now the talk, the smoke screens and all that stuff, the talk is ETN at running back for Bills at 30 if he's there, or possibly a move up for him. What do you see as far as first, I want to know your opinion on the possibility of the Buffalo Bills drafting Travis. And then after that, I want you to give me like a good, decent profile on him, because you're really good at draft prospecting and like really creating a profile for players. And I think a lot of times I'm bad at it. So I need to call my friends who are good at stuff to do it. So you got the floor.
Hey, you're giving me too much credit, bro.
Man.
Hey, no. So we're talking about the prospect of the Bills looking at ETN as a possible pick at 30 or trade up. So, man, Spence, you know, I've been on this train since during the season, knocking on the door for Travis Etienne to be a Buffalo Bill. The Bills, I mean, he fits the profile, right? I don't know if you want to trade up for him, but at the same time, I mean, this is a regime that ushered in Christian McCaffrey at number 8 overall. So, you know, they're not averse to taking a guy of his caliber, a home run threat. I mean, you're probably giving up a third, a fifth, and a fourth round pick the next year to go out and get ETN.
Not because I'm not cutting you off. Obviously, I just said you got the floor. But yeah. So you're comparing ETN to McCaffrey. Like you're saying this is the same caliber of player.
I think that his ceiling, that if he reaches his fullest potential, he could be Christian McCaffrey level. Absolutely.
Dude, absolutely. Don't tell me that. I'm about to talk to CJ, man. Don't tell me that. I'm going to be asking him like, yo, like I'm gonna need him making some calls to Brandon. Like, yo, call Brandon and you tell Brandon that he needs to get your guy.
I mean, but that's him reaching his fullest potential. Like, my player comp for him was Alvin Kamara. That's just me, right?
Okay.
Now, does he need to maybe improve as a pass catcher, route running ability? I mean, Christian McCaffrey is elite when it comes to, you know, running routes from the slot, you know, catching the ball out of backfield and so forth, right? He's elite at that. Do I think Travis Etienne can get there at some point if he works at it? Absolutely. But you're talking about a guy who, I mean, his contact balance of vision is outstanding. I mean, this is not just a running back who's 5'10", you know, 200 pounds, and then, you know, can't handle an arm tackle. I mean, this guy, he runs through arm tackles. He's not just a speed back. You know, I love his anticipation when he gets to the line of scrimmage. He's an instinctive runner, and he's a threat to take it to the house on any and every single play. And I think, you know, I think Tom McShay this week talked about, No, it wasn't McShay. It was Benjamin Albright, who I respect a ton. He's out here in Denver as well. But talking about how what he's hearing is that McDermott and Bean said that they want, you know, Josh to take less hits. Well, a way for Josh to take less hits is that he has a reliable option in the backfield, but not only that, but to catch passes in the flats, you know, as a receiver, so forth. So it makes total sense as to why the Bills would be interested in a guy like Travis Etienne, not to mention that, you know, they went to his pro day. They probably had a meeting with him. I'm speculating here, but they've probably had a meeting with him already. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, I'm pretty sure they have. Like, they actually there has been you know what? I'll look it up while you're going in, because I do feel like we've seen that the Buffalo Bills have had some type of interaction with him, and there's a reason why everybody is saying like the Bills are in on this guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's had over, I believe it's, 70 touchdowns in his collegiate career. Okay. 4-year starter. I mean, he's Travis Etienne is that dude, man. And, please, if he's there at 30, I take him. And everybody hates it. You know, you talk to there, you know, people talk about value when it comes to value, taking a running back at, you know, in the first round. But this isn't, you know, pick 5, right? This isn't Saquon Barkley pick. This is pick 30, which essentially, I mean, when you look at it, it's kind of like the top of the second round when you look at it that way. So I don't think, you know, you have to be like, well, you know, you're not getting the best bang for your buck. I mean, you have to look at context. And I think he's the missing piece to this, to what could potentially be a Super Bowl run for these Buffalo Bills. So
Looking at this stuff, like, so while you're talking and all that, I'm just looking up, you know, like I'm trying to find the specific things I'm asking you about, but like, I'm looking at this one and it says that he forced 135 missed tackles on runs since 2019. So in 2 years, 135, 4,952 rushing yards, 7.2 yards per carry. listen to what I'm saying to you Bills fans. 7.2. Now, I know this is college. It's not the NFL. He played for Clemson. So this isn't like he's playing, you know, he's not playing Canisius. You dig what I'm saying to you? Like, he's playing. Do Canisius even still have a football team? I don't think they have one still. I know they used, like, whatever. But he's not playing Buff State. You get what I'm saying? Like, these boys are playing talented guys who he's going to see in the NFL. 70 rushing touchdowns.
70.
102 catches. 1,155 receiving yards. To me, that sounds like a receiver. 102 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. Give me that.
Yeah.
You going to give me that out the backfield along with – come on, man. Anyway, go ahead and finish your pro- – you know, let me ask you this because a lot of guys, you know, like me, I'm not a draft guy. I'm not into watching a ton of college film. I don't watch college game. But I'll go and I'll be a victim of the highlights. You know, I watch the highlights and like, oh, I want this kid. And obviously it's the best 15 plays of the season for somebody. But when you look at Travis Etienne, one of the things that strikes me is his quickness and speed. And I know there's a difference between the two term or two words. A lot of times fans don't know the difference. He has both. Can you kind of explain a little bit what I mean when I say speed and quickness, and he has both?
Yeah, so I think it kind of boils down to his running fundamentals. I mean, he has sprinter speed. You know, there's guys who are fast, and there's guys who have that second level. Travis Etienne is fast, but he also has a second level. I mean, you saw his pro day. I mean, he smoked it. I mean, his first step, he's gone. I mean, he gets a 0 to 60 real quick. So there's your difference there. But when you, if you want to like gauge speed and quickness, go look at like Devin Singletary when he makes a cut, right? And it kind of takes him a minute to get going again. When Travis Etienne makes a cut, it's like he's not missing a beat. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's real smooth, but his acceleration is through the roof. And then you see him in the open field and you know, defenders trying to get angles on him. You just can't do it because he's so fast. He's so fast. He's a long strider. So, you know, he has, you know, he's got that sprinter's background. He has to have a track background somewhere. I mean, he's just the guys, he's got legendary speed for a running back, man.
Yeah, he's too fast to not have that type of background. Like, it's insane. I so like obviously Najee Harris is a big talk as well, like another running back prospect that people are looking at. When I watch him, I see that he has a lot of the same qualities that will make him a fantastic running back to have. The thing that makes me want Etienne over him, if we're going for a running back prospect out of the two, hear what I said, Bills fans. If we are going for a running back prospect out of the two, the things that would make me want Etienne, I'm not saying that I want to trade up for Etienne. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the Bills should do this. What I'm saying is out of those two, Etienne has the gear. He has the speed and quickness that I think will not only help Josh Allen, but fit in what this offense wants. The tempo that this offense wants to play in, the way Brian Daboll wants the ball to just keep going. I think you have somebody like Stephon Diggs, then you have somebody like Travis Etienne and Cole Beasley and Gabriel Davis. And like, you have these dynamic playmaking guys. That's going to be fun to watch every Sunday. Yeah. Every Sunday. Well, let me ask you this before I let you go, man.
Hold on. Let me add something to that though.
Go for it.
So, you know, I think they're going to go back to like a zone running scheme this year.
Well, and that was actually, so it's funny you bring it up, 'cause that's what I was going to ask you before I let you go. I'm saying like, so we're talking about bringing Etienne in, you know, bringing Etienne in. We're talking about that. But the thing is, if Daboll switches and we kind of go back to like a run, like a zone scheme, Devin Singletary is actually better suited for that type of system. So then it's like, we only have so many mouths to feed.
Right. So in that, if going back to a zone, I think one of the things that makes Etienne so attractive to this offense is his ability to see a hole and get to the second level real quick. Goes back to that first step. I mean, he doesn't waste time in the backfield. You know, there's not a lot of pitter patter, and like, he sees a hole and he's gone. You know, somebody that fast, you don't have to have necessarily elite line play, because he's going to be able to make plays on his own. Right. somebody like Devin Singletary, who's maybe more a little bit patient when he gets to the line of scrimmage and kind of goes through the mud, but he's elusive. You know, I would say that Devin Singletary is more elusive in a phone booth. He's more agile than Travis Etienne is. So I think they both have a role to play in this offense, right? And then you have Zach Moss as a third, as a complement, who could be your banger or whatever. But Etienne fits well in this offense, especially if you're going back to a zone blocking scheme. I mean, he could really have a really good year as a rookie if he ends up being a Buffalo Bill.
Let me ask you this. If you're saying they both could fit, and I feel if that's the case, I see Motor as more of a trade bait.
Yeah. But that's up to Bean, right?
I just don't see it, you know, because you figure, like, we just brought in Matt Breida, right? Now, again, also, Matt Breida has the speed that we're going to be bringing in if we do bring in somebody like Etienne. So, really, Breida could be on the way out because he's not a guy that Brandon Bean drafted. Right. So, you're right. It could be Breida before it's Singletary. I just feel like the tempo that the team likes to play with, somebody like Breida is going to be a little bit more valuable to them than somebody like, and maybe I'm wrong. But I just see it that way.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Let's say the Bills draft Etienne gets hurt. Yeah, it'd be great to have Matt Breida. So you're not losing too much out of the backfield. You don't have to maybe change your game plan as much, right? But yeah, I think if I'm the GM, I take Travis Etienne. That does make Devin Singletary a trade bait. Just because he has one extra year. And I think he has more trade value than a Zach Moss, who really didn't get to showcase his abilities maybe like he wanted to due to injury and lack of, due to COVID and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I think Singletary's value is probably a fifth-round pick. You could probably get something like that out of a Devin Singletary. Mm. So if they do,
you see, that's the part that sucks, man. That sucks because we saw him as higher than a fifth round. You know what I mean? Like, we saw him being more than that.
Yeah. That's what if I had to put a value on him right now, that's what I'd say. He's probably worth the fifth round pick. He's a good bet. He's good, but he's not great. I don't think he'll ever be great. And that's not a knock on him, a slight on him. That's just, now, did you hear about what they said earlier? So Tyler Dunn wrote a piece on Devin Singletary. So if you guys,
I saw.
If you guys haven't read it, it's really good, and it kind of changes anything Tyler Dunn writes up is always incredible.
But they do second to none.
Ain't he though? So here's a little excerpt. Okay, so they're saying Singletary 2.5 months later is now a different running back, and this is an excerpt from the article. He says he has completely dominated the offseason. Hicks says, that's his running back coach. He said he's so much faster, so much more explosive. He's got all the shakes, all the agilities. He's got all of the jukes, but he didn't have the burst. He was lacking that. Well, not anymore. Now, I don't know how I feel about that. Because how are you going to improve that much in one off season? Like, you're just exponentially faster. I mean, you either have it or you don't. I mean, I do appreciate that he's working his tail off, but I read that and I go, really? Are we just saying that because, you know, is this?
I caution people. Yeah. Now, and I'm a Motor fan. I love Motor. Me too. So, you know, but I just caution people. I feel like sometimes it may be for Devin. It might be a victim of the moment type thing too, where he's hearing all this stuff about Travis. Like, wait a minute, I got this, dog. I can do this. And it's like, wait a minute. Don't write checks that you can't cash because you don't have. Now he's good. He's very good. He just doesn't have the same abilities as Travis. So there's certain plays that he just can't make, man. He just can't.
Yeah.
I've seen him completely break guys, like just snatch ankles. Like, I've seen souls leave men's bodies because of Devin Singletary. But the very second after he makes that move, he gets caught because he's slow. And not slow to me. I'll never catch Devin. Right. But slow for the NFL level. Dude, these linebackers, these defensive ends now are catching Devin Singletary, man. Like, this isn't like back in the day where you got these guys where the running backs are the smaller guys and these defensive ends are 100 pounds heavier or 80 pounds heavier and they can barely catch them. You got guys running 4.4s as defensive ends. And if your running back is running a 4.48 or 4.46.
And Devin's not even that fast.
You get my point? So you got guys that are defensive ends. The New England Patriots just brought Matt Judon here to this division. You put him on, like, you let Devin get out on the edge and think you're going to outrun Matt. Okay. All right. They just got Cal back up there too, right, Van Noy?
Yeah.
Oh, they make it. New England is not playing. Miami is not playing on defense. And I guarantee they're going to have another good draft. So when we're talking about, I love Devin Singletary, but I need to get off the, dude, me and Joe went to the playoff game against the Colts, January 9th or 7th, one of the two, I can't remember the date. We ran the ball three times. The first two plays, we ran the ball, got like 4 yards, then we got like 5 yards. It was third and one. It was the second quarter. It was third and one. And they ran the ball again, and we didn't get the first down. In the playoffs, in Buffalo. And that's always been the thing. Oh, no, you want to come to Buffalo and win. We want a home playoff game in Buffalo because we can't even get a third and one, bro.
And that day, it was so nice that day.
It was a beautiful day. It was gorgeous. Like, I remember telling, you know, me living in Arizona now, I'm there, and I'm like, Joe, it's actually nice. I don't even need my hand warmers. And he laughed at me because I was talking all this crap because I'm like, I'm going to be so cold. Dude, I didn't even need it. And we couldn't get a third and one.
Yeah, that's not good. I think the O-line has something to do with that. I think there's a lot. I can't put all the blame on Devin, you know, but I think some of the blame goes to the running backs. I think some of the blame goes to the offensive line as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And some goes absolutely.
I think the scheme really wasn't conducive to running the ball well. I mean, when you got guys back there, right?
They're just yeah, I think it starts there.
Yeah,
I think it absolutely starts with Daboll. So, because the thing is, Devin is Devin. You get what I'm saying? Like, he's the guy that he is. You drafted him. You see what he is in training camp. You saw him. We didn't get to see him, but you saw him in training camp. You saw him without the preseason. You got to see him when he made the roster. You see him in practice every single week. You see him in the games, just like us, but you see him so much more. The information that the coaches and the team has, you see him.
Right.
You know the kind of player you have. Right. Why would you change your system, like your running style, to get away from the strength of your guy? That's like them coming in and saying, okay, instead of us bringing in a Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley for Josh Allen, let's bring back Kelvin Benjamin. Let's bring back Kelvin Benjamin for Josh Allen. Completely against what his strengths are.
Right.
I'm not going to go in on Kelvin Benjamin today. I'm going to show love to everybody. God bless you, Kelvin Benjamin. Thank you for your time in Buffalo as a Buffalo Bill. Your very brief time. I appreciate you, sir. Sterles, my man. I'm sorry. I just went on this whole tangent. I got my man CJ Spiller waiting to come in. So we're going to get this thing moving. Do me a favor. I know you did it last night. Let everybody know where they can find you when your content is out and you know, just what we can look forward to coming up from you this week or next week. I know the draft is – this is your Christmas. So let us know what you got going on.
Yeah, man. So you can find me on Twitter at Forward Sterling. I'm with Cover One. Y'all already know that.
Hey,
Cover One. but you know, that's what we're doing, man. We've been on these prospects for about a year, man. Just grinding tape, and you know, I've been learning so much. Our live show drops on Tuesday night. We're doing a live mock draft, and then we're gonna have. I think I'm gonna hop on for Friday morning, kind of wrap up. You know, Thursday night. But I'll be with the Built in Buffalo guys on Thursday night. Just kind of doing some draft coverage, but I'll be all over the place, man. So I'll hop anywhere because I'm down. Like, this is Christmas, like, hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm game. But I appreciate you, though, man. Tell CJ I said what's up. You know, he's one of my favorite Bills, so let him know. Give him some love, bro.
Dude, for sure. For me, and I'll say this, and then I'll really let you go. Like, so for me, CJ, so I fell in love with the Bills when, like, Flutie – modes, because like I was a kid when the Super Bowls was happening, you know, like I was born in 86, we was there in 90, you know what I mean? So like I hate when I hear people my age be like, but the Bill, man, you was five, bro, come on. But so I fell in love with like the Flutie Flakes era, I should say. CJ Spiller was the first running back that we drafted, and I know people are going to say, what about Marshawn? At the time ended up putting a bad taste in Buffalo's mouth. When he left, it was a bad situation, like, you know, the hit and run thing and it was just a lot that didn't work in Buffalo with Marshawn. Looking back, hindsight, yeah, we all love Marshawn and we wish he would stay. But it just wasn't then. So CJ was the first guy that we drafted at running back that high when I was a football fan. So for me, CJ is my GOAT, man. And injuries, you know, it just didn't work out. Chan Gailey left. It didn't work out. But, dude, CJ is my GOAT. So I'm excited for this. This is probably, I would say, other than maybe last night. Last night was fun. Last night was huge. And then, you know, I'm hoping to still get Stevie on. Stevie's my all-time favorite Bill. So whenever I get Stevie on, I think that would be the only thing that would be bigger than this one.
Yeah, man. Hey, kill yeah. it. Go kill it.
My man.
To see it, bro.
Ladies and gentlemen, my man Sterles. I ain't going to do Sterles for the girls. I'm going to retire Sterles for the girls. But my man Sterles from Cover One. Man, I appreciate you. Love you, bro. I'm going to chat with you after this.
This is a Jay Spence exclusive.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. The interview that I've been waiting for. I don't care what y'all been waiting on. This is what I've been waiting on. I have Buffalo Bills former first round draft pick. I have Clemson running back coach, the current running back coach and legend at Clemson right now. My man, CJ Spiller. How's it going today, coach?
Oh, it's going good. Going good. It's a beautiful day up here in upstate South Carolina. The sun is shining bright. We're getting a little bit of wind, but it's a great day. Just plugging away in the recruiting phase right now, just trying to go find more great players to come try to help our program continue that success that we've had over the years.
Yeah, man, and that has to be interesting for you coming up through, you know, obviously being such a great player, and then, you know, going to the NFL, and then now you're going back, you know, to Clemson to coach. So we're going to touch on that in a little bit. I have a question on it, but you mentioned the draft. You mentioned now for you looking for new prospects now that you have guys kind of phasing out. Mm-hmm. It's a fun time for football fans, man. And the draft is like, is here. It's here. Everybody's here. So before we jump into it, I just kind of want to get like your memory, your favorite memory of when you were getting drafted, like either like something funny that happened during the day or once the draft happened, just something in general that sticks out to you that you always tell.
Honestly, it was really the draft day itself was really chill. I happened to be very fortunate enough to be invited up to New York. It was my first time ever being in New York City. So I had my family up there. My daughter, she was young at the time, so she was up there. So we really pretty much just hung out. You know, the NFL kind of kept us busy doing the different charities and stuff throughout the day. But then as it was getting closer and closer to the draft show, you know, we kind of just got some downtime. So I kind of just chilled out and kind of just spent some alone time really just reflecting and realizing that a dream of mine is really about to come true. Something that you dream about as a little kid is actually right here at the doorsteps and is about to happen. So you're just trying to filter all those emotions and then just thinking about all the people that will help you along the way to get you to where you are. So it was a big reflection time for me. And then the biggest thing I remember, honestly, is riding over in the SUV with Barry Sanders, you know, one of my childhood idols, you know, tried to simulate my game a lot after him just because of the moves that he made. So that was fun for me to be able to just to sit there and have a conversation with a Hall of Famer, a guy that you grew up watching, and just talk football and just talk about life itself. So that would be some of the things. And then, you know, having my daughter in the green room with me, just sitting there, just talking with her, smiling. You know, she has no clue what is going on because of how young she is. It was a great experience. One of those ones I'll never forget.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. You mentioned Barry there. Barry seems like, well, obviously to the public, he's a quiet figure. Like he's such a mystery because he doesn't speak often. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, what is he like, man? Like, you know.
And he's so just, awesome. Yeah, that honestly, that's just how he was. Like literally how you hear him speak on TV is how he was speaking in that SUV on our way to Radio City Music Hall. He was very, you know, very soft spoken, but very real, you know. And I was asking him, you know, some questions, you know, what did he do to take care of his body? You know, what were some things that, you know, he would recommend for me to do? And, you know, to me, I was really just, I mean, I don't really get starstruck often, but I was just really just starstruck. Like, I'm actually sitting next to Barry Sanders. Like, I mean, Barry. You see, you know, as a running back, you know, people always talk about, you know, the lower trunk, the big thighs. And like, you really, on TV, it really don't do justice how big of a lower body he has. But then when you sit next to him, you're like, oh man, this guy, he's well put together. Like, you see why he was a Heisman Trophy winner. You know what I mean? Like, I see why he had that crazy year at Oklahoma State. because just the way his body was. But then, I mean, he was asking about my family, you know, how I was going to handle certain situations. So he was just very soft-spoken and very open and very honest. And as a young player coming in, that's really all you want. You just want to have some type of knowledge because you're going into an unknown world. You hear all the stories, but you really don't know. So to get it from a Hall of Famer, a guy that done it at a high level for and being consistent throughout his whole career, it carries a lot of weight. So I was able to take away a lot of pointers from what he was telling me.
Man, and you're right. That's what young players do look for. Because I do know, like, every year when somebody comes in, for instance, we have now Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. I know Thurman Thomas, he makes sure that he goes and he gives those guys some good, you know, he'll give them some good direction, which I'm sure he did when you were drafted as well. Yeah. And it's just an amazing thing that you got guys who are legendary, like Barry, man, that would take the time out and kind of give you some guidance there. So, but listen, let's move forward a little bit. That's fun for me because Barry is my all time favorite. Then it's Thurman, and then it's like a bunch of Bills. So like you're in there. I can't like figure it out. But let's talk about draft night for you. You know, so when it happened, you know, most teams going into the draft every year, it's like, oh, best player available. We want to take the best player available. That's the way you build a team successfully. Right. We hear it. The GM talk. The Buffalo Bills actually did it in 2010. Like they actually did it because they already had Marshawn. Yeah. So when they came and they took you, obviously getting drafted probably was like, all right, yeah, the dream is realized. Mm-hmm. But after that, once you fit, you know, you looked at the team and it's like, wait, this is Buffalo. Marshawn's there. Was that an issue for you or were you just excited to come to the league and do your thing?
Honestly, I was just excited. I didn't really even look at the roster at all, honestly. Obviously, I knew about Marshawn. I mean, but I didn't know. It didn't register to my mind like, oh, Marshawn Lynch is there. Fred Jackson's already there. Honestly, I was just so excited to be drafted because I just knew the year that I had previous, you know, coming back, having that turf toe, trying to fight through that my whole senior season, trying to navigate through those waters. And then now to actually have a chance to be a first-round pick. It was just really a dream come true. And then, you know, I had my man Chris Jenkins. You know, he was there. So we was doing all the media stuff after the selection happened. And then, you know, they was asking me, you know, what number. So I'm, you know, trying to do an interview and then they asked me what number I want. You know, so I'm like, well, I want 28. Well, you know, Leotis McClevin already had 28, so I had to settle for 21. Yeah, I see
you got it now. You got it now.
So I had to settle for 21 that rookie year and then we was able to make that switch. But honestly, I was just happy. I just remember sitting in the green room, and it was kind of weird because I want to say Oakland had to pick right before Buffalo, and they was picking, but Buffalo was calling at the same time. So I'm like, okay, is I'm an Oakland Raider or is I'm a Buffalo Bill? But when I looked at my phone and seen the 716, which I already knew what the area code was just from the, you know, pre-draft, you know, meetings and stuff, I said, oh, this is going to be I'm heading to Buffalo. And then obviously, you know, played against Coach Gailey my freshman year here at Clemson, my freshman and sophomore year here at Clemson. So I kind of knew Coach Gailey from that standpoint and knew Coach Curtis Mockins, the running back coach that eventually coached me in Buffalo. So I was kind of familiar with his staff, but I was just super, man, I was just super excited just about getting up there. Then just having a chance to meet a Hall of Famer like Mr. Wilson, the owner, the shake, to be able to shake his hands and for him to say the kind words that he said at our official press conference, it meant a lot to me. And I still have that picture up in my office with me and him holding that jersey up at our press conference.
Man, that's awesome, man. You are one. So I'm 35. Most people when they watch the show don't know my age, but I began to kind of love football. Around like the Doug Flutie, like, you know, I grew up in Buffalo, so I knew the Super Bowl teams and all that, but I fell in love with football, Doug Flutie, Eric Modes, that time. Mm-hmm. So you came in like right after that, like, you know, like you were that next generation of Bills players. Mm-hmm. And dude, when I tell you, for me, you know, you're the Thurman. I know like the numbers aren't like, I know you didn't play the career that Thurman did, whatever, you know, but you're the Thurman for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So first I want to say that you look like you could come out of retirement, man. What's going on?
Well, you know, I'm still staying in shape, you know, because now, like you say, like you mentioned earlier, you know, being the running backs coach at Clemson, something in my gut telling me that one of these youngsters is going to try me over the summer when we start fall camp. So something telling me, hey, you better be ready because one of these youngsters is going to say, hey, line it up, coach. And I got to be ready because, you know how it is. You know what, especially what, you know where I'm from Lake Butler. When somebody challenge you to a race, oh, you can't turn that down. You got it. Oh, we got to get it. We got to get it. I can be 45 and the youngsters come get me. We got to line it up and see what's going on. So I'm trying to stay in shape myself to make sure that I'm ready just in case that opportunity presents itself and one on one to feel a little froggy to see if old coach still got that speed a little bit.
Like, go ahead and leap, bro. Go ahead and leap. What do you think your 40 is right now? Have you timed yourself recently?
No, I have not timed myself recently. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to run a 4.2 because I know it takes certain training to run that type of level. But I mean, I'm closing in. You know, I'm coming in for at least four, low four.
Man,
no, that's just jumping out the bed and just going to go get it.
So you and Travis have fun this year in practice and stuff. Like, I can only imagine.
Nah. Killer Trout, he never took that. He never crossed that bridge.
Okay, he has.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he probably registered in his mind a couple of times that he wanted to cross that bridge, but he never officially crossed that bridge.
I got you. Well. So speaking of him, man, he's in a lot of people's minds. He's RB1. You know, he's RB1 in his draft. A lot of people in Buffalo, man, they're drooling. I'm going to just tell you, I'm sure, you know, I know you're not in Buffalo, but I'm sure you still have some connections. They're drooling over this guy in Buffalo. Yeah. And obviously around the league, they're drooling over him. So wherever he gets drafted, whatever position, I find it hard pressed to believe that he's not the best player available once you get past, like, you know, obviously the quarterbacks are gone. Yeah. I think Pitts is the best in the draft this year. And then there's maybe a couple guys, but he's up there. So I don't think he's going to fall to 30, but when he gets drafted, what is he going to bring to an NFL team? And when is he, what is he going to do that can absolutely either change an offense or help get them over the hump?
Well, first off, I mean, he's such a young, humble kid, you know, just very polite, very respectful. Really don't understand. I don't even think he really grasps kind of what he done in college football over his career, but that just goes to show you, you know, how humble he is. And he really don't get caught up into the numbers. You know, he's all about, you know, how can I help my team win? How can I make my teammates better? So that's going to be one thing that he's going to bring to an organization is just how humble he is. He's not going to get caught up into the limelight. Like, that's not Travis. You know, he's very low key. You know, he's not one of the high maintenance guys, takes great care of his body. He's about his business, but when he step on that field, he's trying to compete at the highest level. He want to show you why he's the best. So when he goes to an offense, you know, he's going to be able to run inside. He has enough speed to run outside. Then you can put him in the passing game because he can catch the ball at the backfield. And we've seen that this past year, how our offensive coordinator, Coach Elliott, used him in the passing game. So he's going to be able to give you those mismatches that you're looking for with the linebackers and even some safeties. So it's going to be very unique to see where he lands and who's the offensive coordinator because of his skill set. But he's a three-down back because he's strong enough to sit in there and pick up the blitzes. Obviously, it's going to be a learning curve just like it is for all rookies, all rookie running backs, just learning the different blitzes and stuff like that. But I think he's going to be perfectly fine. I think he's going to have a long, successful career. That's what I'm praying for. And then, you know, the best advice I can give, the best advice that I was told when it came to me in 2010, you know, because I asked, you know, after the fact, I found out, you know, who was on the roster. I went to, you know, I called him Coach Nix, who was Buddy Nix, who was the GM at Buffalo at the time. And I asked him, you know, what made you choose me considering what you had already in the room? And his words was, you was the best available prospect. And I'm always going to draft the best available prospect if they happen to be there when we pick. So I always tell Buffalo, if he's sitting there and you have an opportunity, you better pull the trigger. I mean, because he's one of those type of guys. He can change the dynamic of an offense. That's just how special he is. I mean, who knows? He might fall to 30. He might not. But I think, you know, you always go and draft the best available prospect that's sitting right there if it's your turn to draft someone. So I'm looking forward. I get excited around this time of year because I'm always looking forward to the draft. You know, obviously I played in Buffalo, so I have, you know, that deep tie, that Buffalo, that Bills Mafia still run deep in my blood. So I'm always looking to see who they draft. You know, they right there on the edge of, you know, taking that next step. Obviously last year got to the AFC championship game. So they right there on the doorstep of taking that next step. So I'm at actually anxious to see, you know, what direction they go in. You know, I haven't followed the team a ton, so I really don't know a ton of needs. But I do know this, if number 9 from Clemson is available, I'd be a happy camper.
Hey, well, I'm going to tell you. So, first, we finally, which I'm sure you know, we got our guy, man. Like, we got Josh. So, yep. So finally having that, we have Devin and Zach.
Yep.
Both good, really good talents, actually. Devin's rookie year, he showed us some flashes. We still have Frank in the mix there, Frank Gore. But Devin showed us some flashes, and it showed us, like, hey, we can put this guy in position to be the guy. Then we drafted Zach Moss to kind of switch up, you know, the fast and the power.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, we don't have that explosive, that out the backfield, that and it's not a slight against those guys. It's just who they are, and they're very good at what they do. Man, what I would love to have in a number 9 to line up with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Knox and Beasley. Man, I'm telling you, it'd be fun, man.
Yeah, and you said the best, and it's not to knock none of those guys, because I think both of those young running backs are really good in Buffalo. But to me, I don't think you can have enough good running backs in the room, because as I personally know, you know, that's one position where, you know, you just take such a pounding that you need fresh bodies throughout an NFL season. Well, like you said, both of those guys are really good at what they do. And then Travis, he can kick return, you know, so you can put him on special team. He just brings so much to the table. You know, his toolbox is just so wide open, so many ways that he can, you know, he's like that Swiss knife. He can just cut you from all types of ways. And it's just one of those unique skill sets to have.
I'm sorry for laughing at you, Coach, but I just know you're going to say, like, you can never have enough running backs, man. You get us all in there. We go, like, you can have a whole team of us, and we're going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we're going to you just get a bunch of, you know, running backs in. Hey, we just let us know what we're doing. We're going to be going to get you a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this, man. As a coach now, and I know you're in college, so you're not preparing for the draft as far as looking for a prospect in that regards, but you do it for college.
Right.
In your mind, what is if so Travis is on his way out, and I know you have talented guys still on the roster, so I'm not discounting those guys, but Travis is on his way out. What do you look for in a perfect prospect? There is no perfect prospect, but for you as a running back and a coach, what are you looking for in a running back?
Oh, well, I mean, the first thing you look for, you know, is the hip alignment. You know, can they sink their hips on their cuts? You know, how explosive are they in and out of cuts? Does it take them to, you know, do they have to take choppy steps to make a guy miss? Or can they put, you know, 1 foot down and make a guy miss? Can they catch, you know, what we do offense? Can they catch? They got to be able to catch. To me, I think all running backs should be able to catch. You know, that should be priority, be able to catch the ball out the backfield. And then just vision. Some stuff you just can't teach as a coach. Some stuff just going to come natural. Like, it was a lot of stuff, you know, that a lot of coaches just couldn't teach me. It was just natural for me. But it was a lot of stuff that they could teach me, you know, far from scheme stuff, a scheme standpoint. And then just, you know, their knowledge of football. You know, how smart are they? Can they retain information, you know, or is it going to be a slower process? Because each and every guy does learn differently. So you have to be able to navigate all those waters just trying to figure out, you know, okay, what does this guy do best? What does this guy do best? And, you know, because this is one position where every running back is different. And I know we always try to get into the comparison, hey, this guy reminds me of this guy, this guy. But I always tell people, man, running backs are unique because everybody have a different skill set. And that's the thing. That's what makes us so unique, because we are different. You know, yeah, you might have some, you know, some measurables to a guy. But, hey, you know, like when people try to compare me to Chris Johnson, you know, there's no comparison. Yeah, there's some measurables, you know, from a speed standpoint, but we was totally different than how we did things. You know, he was strictly just running the ball at Tennessee, where me, I can do running back, I can catch the ball, I can go on special team. So it was just different things. So those are some different things that I kind of look at, you know, change of directions. So just different little ins and outs.
I posted a video of you the other day returning a punt, or I think it was a kick. It was either a kickoff or a punt.
Kickoff return against New England.
Yeah, and it, to your point, man, like you can – when you were in the league, they could literally, if they wanted to put you in that slot as a receiver, they could motion you out and do that. You could run out the backfield. You could catch out the backfield. You could return – I think – and that's what the Buffalo Bills are looking for, like players that can fit, plug-and-play players. And man, the guy that you've been coaching up, man, he's impressive to do it. Nah, let me
– go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go for it. Go ahead.
Nah, and like you said, I mean, he just brings a very unique skill set. You know, he's one of them guys that you can just plug him in Let him learn the offense, and he's going to make that thing blossom. I think he's the only running back in this draft that can do it all. You know, some guys just going to be able to run the ball, but this, you know, Travis, he's going to be able to literally line up in the slot, run an out route, run the takeoff, run a hitch. I mean, because he's done it before. So I think he's the number one running back in the draft. But we'll see what happens next weekend.
I know a lot of people around the league agree with you that he's RB1. You know, there's a couple guys mixed in there with competition as far as who's going to be the first guy taken. But for me in Buffalo, I would love to see somebody with the type of speed that he has drafted. So the certain measurables that he has, I think, would fit with the tempo that this offense wants to play with. Brian Daboll is like, he's a wizard out there, man. And the stuff that he does, it would be fun to watch Travis in that. But let me ask you this, because so when we first sat down and started talking, you mentioned, we both mentioned kind of how it's been a transition for you going from Clemson to the NFL. Now you're back at Clemson as a coach. Mm-hmm. So other than like the obvious, you know, answer of responsibility, what's different this time around? And, you know, like, how is it different working with Coach Sweeney as opposed to being a player for Coach Sweeney?
I mean, obviously it's totally different. I mean, obviously he's my boss now. We definitely have a very unique relationship, probably different than most guys that's on staff around the country. Just because, you know, he recruited me. I've known Coach since 2005, so it's a very unique relationship. But I respect him, you know, because he is my boss, and you know, he has given me a responsibility to be able to do my job to my best ability. And that's the thing that you always want is the respect. So I have tremendous respect for him. He still has that. I mean, he's still the same person that I met in 05, you know, just very down to earth, very, you know, very open, very honest, very transparent with you. Let you know, he don't tell you, you know, what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to hear. And you have to be able to accept that. And then, you know, everything's coming out of a good heart. So, I mean, to be able to have a chance to come back and even coach at my alma mater, I'm grateful, because he could have went out and hired anybody that he wanted to, because he has that right to do that. You know, yep. So he could have went and got anyone that he wanted. So for him to give me that responsibility is something that I don't take lightly. It's something that I take to heart, and I want to make sure that I do it to my best ability. Not to say that I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to have ups and downs throughout the whole process, just like any other coach. But I'm going to do my best to try to make this program keep rolling.
Yeah, from what I see on TV, kind of like what I talked about with Barry. Now, Coach Sweeney is not the same personality as Barry by any means, but I was bringing it up to say I love his personality. Like, he just seems like one of the realest dudes. He seems like one of the dudes, like, if I was a player, I would just love to go and talk to Coach if he's around. Like, if Coach is there, I just want to go and talk to Coach. And I just love that energy. And if coach chooses to take 20 minutes out of his day to watch this when it airs, I'm telling him, I love you, Coach. You're awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, and that's what you want. I mean, we feed off that. You know, he brings so much energy to our program. You know, he's the leader of our program. But he also lets his assistant coaches do their job. You know, that's what he hired us to do, is to go out and, you know, do our job and do it to our best ability. Just like you say, if you have, you know, especially for me, being a first year guy, you know, so I'm always trying to go and, you know, ask questions, you know, like, hey, how did you do this when you started? You know, what were some of the things that, you know, you probably would have avoided from doing? You know, so I'm always asking questions, and he's always responsive. So it's not one of those things where, you know, you go in there and you're like, hey, no, I can't do that. No, it's always, hey, give me some time and I get with you. So, you know, to have that open door policy, I mean, it means the world to me. Being a first year coach, because you have someone that have been in it for a long time, like Coach Sweeney.
Are you aiming to be a head coach eventually? Is that the goal?
I really haven't really thought about that much, that far down the road. It's one of those things where you just really just take it day by day. And then obviously as the years come and go, you just go from there. But you know, if that opportunity presents itself, when that water crosses that bridge, hey, is it something that I may entertain? It may be. But right now I'm just trying to be the best college football running backs coach in America, and try to have my guys ready to go and compete at the highest level each and every week when the season starts.
Well, if we're basing it on results, I think you're at least top three in the country. I'm just saying, if we're basing it on results from last year, you did a good job. So in years past, man, Buffalo, you know, I just mentioned Josh. I alluded to the fact that we finally got our guy. Years past, Buffalo would be drooling over the other guy that everybody is hyping up on your roster right now. Trevor Lawrence, man, he's impressive. He looks to be about as sure of a thing as can be coming out of draft at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
From you being able to work up close with them and you know, work with them, obviously, too, as a running backs coach, I'm sure you've been hands on in certain areas. What do you see that can give Jacksonville's fans reassurance that now their franchise is heading in the right direction with this guy?
Oh, man, the thing with T-Law is, I mean, pretty much similar to Travis. He just so humble. I mean, he's a leader amongst men, and he's going to bring so much excitement to that city. Franchise that's looking to, you know, trying to gravitize their fan base. He's going to be very helpful in the community. He's going to, you know, do all the things that he can to uplift that community, both him and his wife. So I'm excited for him to be going back to my home state. Hopefully, you know, keeping our fingers crossed, nothing crazy happened. So for him to be going, hopefully, to my home state, man, I'm just super excited. I know that he's going to bring just a different type of energy to that organization because, as you know, you got Coach Urban Meyer there. You know, he's known for winning. Now you have an opportunity to bring in T-Law, who's known for winning, and winning is contagious. You know, that's all these kids know. Now, is he going to have his up and down? Yes, he's a rookie quarterback. But he's going to have a great support system around him to make sure that he stays where he needs to stay. So I'm looking forward to it. I think that's going to be a great addition to that city. I think I read the other day he already pledged to give back to that city because of what they done for him for his wedding. So that just goes to show you what type of person that he is. You know, he understands that football will become his job, but football is not his life. And when you have that perspective, that sets you above everything else. So I'm excited about him. I'm excited about the direction. And I think he's going to have a very, very bright future down in old Duval County.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. So we're going to wrap this thing up. Coach, I appreciate you taking it. Really, I appreciate you taking the time to kick it with me, man. Like, this has been a treat for me. Even if nobody watches this thing, for me, this is awesome. Real quick, before I let you go, I got two quick ones for you.
Yep.
Is there anything going on, or are you still involved with, I believe it was Camp, is it Camp Kasem?
Camp Keeson?
Keeson. Okay, I said it wrong. Are you still involved? Is there anything going on that in Buffalo that we might be able to do to help support?
No, I really don't have anything going on in Buffalo. That was an organization where, you know, if I scored so many that they was able to donate to help, you know, kids with cancer treatment. It was a great organization that I worked with while I was playing. Hopefully I can probably reach back out to them and try to find some way to continue to work with, because I just believed in what they was doing. And, you know, me coming from a family, having a grandmother that passed away from cancer. So it meant a lot to me. But other than that, I really don't have a ton going on up in Buffalo. You know, I do miss Buffalo. It's one of my favorite places, if not the favorite place that I played at. Just the fan base. I mean, Bills Mafia was by far the best fan base I played in front of. You know, I know we had our ups and downs throughout the years I was there. You know, like you said earlier, you know, I didn't have the career that, you know, I even envisioned for myself. But those 5 years that I spent in Buffalo, those were some of the best years of my life. And, you know, and it was because of those fans. You know, they stuck with us through the thick and thin. And, you know, and even on the road, they traveled. You know, so that's why I always, every Sunday, I'm always checking in, seeing how the Bills do, because I know how that town is, you know, just a very blue collar, just, you know, roll your sleeves up, put your boots on and just go to work. You know, they don't get caught up into that, you know, that Hollywood hoopla type stuff. And that's what makes them very special. And, you know, the thing that I always respect about them is that, hey, we can talk about our players, but they're not going to allow opposing teams to talk about the players on the Buffalo Bills roster. So I'm always be very appreciative to that. You know, so there's some great places that I was able to eat up there that I missed. So hopefully one day when I have some time, I can get back up there and visit old Orchard Park and check out, because I know Coach McDermott and Mr. Bean, he's doing a they're doing a great job with that organization.
Hey, real quick, since you missing some food, man, I got to put you on the spot. Blue cheese or ranch, man? I got to put you on the spot.
Why are you going to do that to me?
I got
to. You want the fans to really be mad at me, but I ain't going to fall for that. I'm going to go with blue cheese.
Yeah, all right,
you think I ain't, that was the number one thing. That was probably one of the first questions I got when I got to Buffalo, and I fell for the trap. So I ain't gonna do it again. I had to do it. Yeah, I'm not gonna fall for that trap again. But that was one of the first traps that they gave me. I knew wings was huge up there, but I mean, I didn't know, blue cheese and ranch was a big debate when I got to Buffalo. Yeah. So I'm like, I go with the other one. Blue cheese.
I got you. I'm just messing with you, man. Yo, y'all know how I do it over here, man. It's Jay Spence, the King. Y'all can find me on Buffalo Rumblers Podcast Network, man. I thank Coach CJ Spiller for joining me. Y'all know how I do it. Y'all take care of each other, love each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive and test negative. Let's go, Bills. Let's go.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more. Pendo. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.